I broke my hand at practice yesterday, and I'll play in the game on Sunday. There's really not a whole lot to it. Football is a game where things happen, and you play through it. You go out there, you do whatever you can to help your team win. So that's what I plan to do.
JJ, when you've seen guys from the past, they have to club it up, even like JPP this year. They seem like they can still play with it and be fine. Do you expect it to be anything for you?
No. I expect to play fully. Don't really plan on adjusting anything or doing anything differently. Just going to play the game the way I play.
So, should we rename Sunday Night Football after J.J. Watt's hand? I'm guessing NBC will. And the Astros get their man. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday. Hopefully everybody's in a great mood. Weekend's almost here. Football tonight. Great show planned. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff. How's your mood, Fowler?
My mood is fantastic.
I saw that we had an alcohol supplier for today, Jung. Is that what? Where did this come from?
That came from Four Loko. Roger from Four Loko. He listens to our show.
Awesome.
And
Thank you, Roger.
That is two of about 10. Two of 10, the big cans. Uh-huh. And then he sent the small four packs. He sent about six of those.
Oh,
so
boy.
I still have some more under my desk. And, 14% alcohol.
I think tomorrow is the day to break these out.
Your call.
I don't know that it's safe to leave them here overnight.
No, not in this place. I'm going to have one because I've never had one and I want to try it.
You can do it now?
Yeah, might as well.
Well,
today was going to be a non-drinking day for me, but I've got a party tomorrow night, so I don't want to be getting drunk here and then go to the party.
Here's my thing. Here's my opinion on what should be done with these. You have one of these too, right, John? One of these big cans?
Yeah. We still have like five more.
Okay. These are how many ounces are in these cans? 23.5 ounces
and 14% alcohol.
So
content.
I vote tomorrow. We all pop these at the same time and pound them as fast as we can, and then just do the show from there.
Well, Fred has a party to go to.
Yeah, I've got stuff to do tomorrow night.
Fred, we'll do it at 4 o'clock. Be the first thing we open the show with.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
All right.
I'm not feeling good about that.
Well, whatever.
I tell you what, I'll have mine today. We'll see how it goes. If it's not that bad, then I'll do it tomorrow with you guys.
Okay.
If not, you're kind of on your own.
Okay.
Does that sound fair?
Okay.
I just got to warn you, it tastes good in the beginning, and then once you're about halfway done, it just starts tasting It doesn't taste good.
Okay.
It tastes good, great in the beginning.
Well, I mean, it tastes like malt liquor.
It is what it is.
I mean, so, yeah.
I guess it doesn't taste bad, but your body can't handle anymore.
Okay.
Or that's what happened to me last time.
When I was in the Army, I often, and let's throw this out there for starters. I joined the Army when I was 17 years old, and I was in for 4 years. Which lets you know about how many of those years that I was of legal drinking age, but you could work your way around that when you lived in the barracks.
Yeah.
And my go-to move was at the little exchange, you could get a 40-ounce of Mickey's Fine Malt Liquor for $1.50, and you could get throw up drunk for $5. So
those were the good old days, man.
That was my go-to.
Mine was Mad Dog 2020, Boone's Farm Strawberry Wine, and Schlitz.
Okay. That's a lot of girl drinks, I feel
like. Well, but that's, it was high school. That's what we could get.
All right.
And those were all cheap. Like, you could get that Mad Dog for like $4.
In high school, I had unlimited access to Bud Light and Miller Light for that matter. One, because my dad drank Bud Light. So we had a fridge of beer. It's like my beer fridge now, except my beer fridge is not filled with all one of the one same kind of beer.
Right.
My dad's beer fridge was filled with one kind of beer, one kind only. So I had access to that. Also, one of the girls that I hung out with all the time, her dad owned the Miller distribution center in the little town that we lived in. Unlimited supply of Miller Lite. So that's what I drank in high school. Once I got away from high school, I had to switch it up. I had to find what was the cheapest option.
Well, yeah,
it was Mickey's Fine Malt Liquor.
Well, that's what it was for us in high school, was what was cheapest.
Right.
What could we get just totally messed up on for under $10?
I've never had Four Loko, though, and this is Four Loko Gold.
Yeah.
What is that?
How does that differentiate it from the other Four Loko?
Is it like tequila? Like there's gold and silver?
I don't know. I had a Four Loko watermelon.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. This was years ago, though.
What's the flavoring here? Just says with artificial flavor. There's no description of what the flavor would be.
Well, we have more of these, right? So I can go ahead and tell you what it tastes like. We can just do that.
Okay.
Gab says Four Loko tastes like high school.
Okay.
All right.
Is that a good thing? I guess it would depend on who you are. Now, you're drinking this at a lukewarm room temperature, basically.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's fine.
Really?
Yeah. It kind of, you know what it tastes like? Vodka Red Bull.
Oh.
A little bit.
Well, now I'm tempted to open mine.
We got plenty.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, John, are you up for that challenge tomorrow to dome one?
No.
Right at the start of the show?
It went pretty.
Sing Adele?
No, it went pretty poorly last time I took Four Loko.
You took it. You're acting like it's heroin. It's
exactly.
It's a beer.
It's a drink.
It's pretty strong. It's an energy drink plus alcohol.
Okay. So how are we going to get you to sing Adele?
I mean, I'll do it. I'll sing Adele.
Okay. Well, then let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always for singing.
Tomorrow, let's start the show by downing a Four Loko. And
I can't promise you I'll be able to down any.
You can
all
do
of
it, John.
I'll down one of the small ones, though.
How about, let's see, what are these, 8 ounces? How about you down two of the small ones?
I'll try.
Like shot style.
Yeah. So 16 ounces as opposed to this 23.5-ounce can.
Oh, okay. I'll try.
Okay.
How's it taste, Fred?
It tastes like vodka Red Bull.
Are you a vodka Red Bull fan?
Well, I always am kind of fundamentally opposed to something that is both a stimulant and a depressant.
Ooh. Not me.
But.
Not me.
We'll see how it goes.
You watch. I would get some heroin and coke, mix it up, and you tell me that's not good.
See, like to me, that's the same as
you tell River,
smoking weed.
You tell River
and,
Phoenix that's not good. All right?
To me, it's like smoking weed and drinking like 11 Red Bulls at the same time. Kind of defeats the purpose of either.
Nah.
But we'll see. I'm curious, just like anybody else. Getting a lot of Four Loko texts and blackout stories, so
oh,
this could be
boy.
Fun.
This is a big time thing that I've somehow not been introduced to before. I've seen it before, but I've never drank it. So
713 asks Fred, do you ever see yourself stopping drinking?
Yeah, when he dies.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. Or if the doctor tells me, dude, you got to stop drinking,
or else what?
I'm gonna die.
I mean, by the time the doctor tells you that, you're probably close to dying anyway.
It's too late at that point.
It's
yeah.
the same thing. My grandma, when she was on her deathbed, the doctor told her, basically, she smoked Winston's her whole life, and she drank Bud Light. And they were like, you can't drink, you can't smoke anymore. And it's literally like her dying days. So while everybody else was like hiding her beer and cigarettes, the woman's like 90 years old. I went to the store and bought her some beer and cigarettes.
No kidding. If you made it to 90 doing that.
Man, if you're about to die, you want to go out doing what you want to do. This woman's lived 90 years. Let her have a Winston if she wants to smoke.
That's a hell of a run.
Yeah. Same with my grandpa. When he was going out, they said no whiskey for him. I didn't care. I brought my grandpa a flask, I hit it in his wheelchair, and he had his whiskey on the way out.
You were a good grandchild.
I was
you?
A good grandchild. No doubt.
Lamont says, yep, Fred, Mad Dog 2020, Schlitz, Boone's Farm, that's ghetto drunk. Well, I kind of grew up in the ghetto, so that That would probably explain it. That's what we all drank. Joshua said his was natural light. Six-pack tall boys were $2.99. Said 12 tall boys would get you the job done for $6.
No joke.
Boy, you got to choke that down, though,
boy,
man.
And you would have the worst runs the next day if you did that.
That stuff, I will say, all that crap we drank in high school, worst hangovers ever.
Oh, because it's all full of sugar, what you were drinking.
Yeah. And it was pretty brutal. But, hey, it was fun. Nobody broke their hands.
That's true.
See how much transitioning.
Look, that's a terrible transition.
And,
now that
we've already burned up the entire first segment on this, we'll have to do it when we come back. I want to get to that. I want to get to the Astros trade, too, because I like it. I think they got what they were looking for. Big arm under team control.
Yep.
And I
don't, they did a deal with the Phillies, which means that they probably lost the deal.
Always concerns me. Always concerns me. We'll talk about that when we come back. We also, but people have Four Loko stories they want to tell.
All right.
We'll do that when we come back.
Four Loko stories.
Yeah. Then. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
When the opposing players know you've got an injury, do they go after that at all?
Let them try it. I mean, what? The opposing players come after me every week with every type of thing in the book you can think of. So feel free, go ahead, come at it. I'll take advantage of whatever you try and do. It's my job to go out there and get to the quarterback. That's what I do. So you can try and take advantage of whatever you want to take advantage of.
That's what you do most of the time. You didn't last week. Just want to throw that out, JJ. Is this hand thing going to be worse than that commercial about his legs? But I can't. I'm JJ Watt's legs. Is this what?
I don't know. I saw him dead.
I can't sack because I'm JJ Watt's hand and I'm broken.
I saw on Deadspin that they were saying that maybe he was masturbating watching that Victoria's Secret show, but then it was his left hand, and J.J. Watt is a country boy. He doesn't use the left hand.
No, that's something that, well, if I'm J.J. Watt, I don't know why I need to use a hand ever anymore. Oh, it's just sometimes you like the privacy of it. But, you know, I mix it up. I go left sometimes. But I'm not a country boy.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, you're not from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Dudes from Wisconsin, they don't mess with
it's
that.
Either right hand or a cow.
Yeah.
It's one of the two. All right. Should we do this? Because people want to
we'll hear tell some Four Loko stories.
Yeah, we'll hear some. We'll start with Blake. What's up, Blake? You're on the Blitz.
Hey, sports, Blake.
I just wanted to share the first time I had a Four Loko. And AJ, you actually might be able to relate to this story a little bit. In college, I was in ROTC, and one Thursday night, me and a few buddies, we just had a few beers, nothing crazy, and then about around 1 o'clock that night, we were trying to finish the night off right. We had a Four Loko apiece. I had one of those big cans like Fred, you're drinking right now. It was a grape one, I think. And so the next morning, I had a PFT. AJ, you might know what that is. Physical fitness test
right.
The next morning at 5:30. So like 3 or 4 hours after I finished drinking that Four Loko, I had to go do that PFT, and that was not good news. That sugar or whatever's in it, that was just awful. And so I just halfway through the run felt like my heart was going to explode and all that good stuff. So yeah, it's not good if you have to do any sort of physical activity right there after.
Well, and that was at the tail end of a lot of other drinks, right?
Oh, not of a whole lot, no.
Okay.
It was just a few beers.
All right.
Okay. Like a little buzz, but not drunk.
All right. Let's try Brian's story. What's up, Brian?
Sports guys. Just like him, I was in college. One night we just, they like 2007, they had just came out. They were like $2 for the big can. So a couple guys, we both grabbed two apiece. But I'm here to tell you, Fred, AJ, you made a smart choice by not drinking tomorrow, because you drink, you're going to go down smooth like wine, but a couple hours, the effect that it's going to have on you is going to feel like dead or something illegal. You're going to feel like you took something illegal. Nah, I hang up and listen, guys.
I'm nervous about this now. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, can I just...
Maybe tomorrow I'll do a couple little cans with you, Jong.
Well, they had to change the recipe back a couple years ago because people, I think, were actually dying from drinking too much of it. So they changed the formula. I think it's just a little bit of alcohol now and straight up energy drink.
Boy, I'm getting
Well, that's 14%.
I mean,
yeah, but I think they had other stuff in there.
Oh, okay. Like what? Like crack?
I don't know. They took all that out.
Well, I would just point out I am kind of a professional when it comes to alcohol, so I'm not too worried.
Okay.
And you think, well, you've seen me drink. Do you really think one of these at 14% is going to
No, and I mean, I've drank more volume at 14%.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, I don't know what else, but I mean, that's all just like alcohol.
It's like beer.
Or liquor even.
Liquor,
I don't know. Well, I don't know that I've ever sat down and drank 24 ounces of liquor.
At least I have.
Not
in a can, but I have.
But not like just poured it into my body all at once.
Well, I'm not doing that. I'm sipping easily.
Okay. But yeah.
All right, we'll do one more of these from Eric, and then we're going to move on because we actually have some sports to talk about today.
No, we don't.
Well, sort of. I'm JJ Watt's hand. Eric, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey guys, sports.
Sports to you.
I'm just calling to thank AJ Hoffman for bringing back so many memories. Because like him, I joined the Army when I was 17. Like him, I was at the 101st. And like him, in 1999, New Year's Eve, I drank $5.50 40-ounce bottles of Mickey's in the barracks by myself when I was 19 years old. And I just also like to remind him, there was a PX over there by the Rockasans, a smaller one with a gas station, that one time had a 30-pack of Colt 45 for $5.
Oh.
And I just wanted to share that. And when you brought up that whole thing last week about, you had somebody murdered in the barracks, I remember that, man. The whole division was on lockdown, and it just brought back a whole lot of memories. You know, good memories and bad memories. I just wanted to call and thank you and keep up the good work.
Right on, man. Thank you. He's there the same time I was. Look at that. I was on the opposite side, though. If he was on that side. The PX I went to was over by the 502nd. It was walking distance. It was stumbling distance, which was great.
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing, man.
All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. I don't know what wisdom we can add to J.J. Watt's hand. He says it's fine. He'll play. Heard it in practice. I don't know how it doesn't affect you, but is he going to come out and say that? Is that in his DNA to come out and say, well, I'm going to be wearing a cast. I don't know if I'll be able to make all the moves that I usually make or make the tackles I usually make, but we'll try. So I don't know how it'll affect him, but if he's not 100%, they got no shot.
Right.
I mean, you see what...
Well, he's not 100%.
Well, but you saw what happened last week when he couldn't get pressure on the quarterback. The defense doesn't do anything.
Right.
So...
I definitely think that this is a problem, and I also know that he'll tough it out because he's J.J. Watt. If he missed a game because of a broken hand, imagine the backlash. Oh, he didn't break his hand when he squished that can on the HEB commercial.
Yeah.
He's a tough dude. Nobody's going to question his toughness. But I'm not surprised that he's playing, but I can't imagine that he's going to be playing at 100%. And this is the one week where you'd like to have him at 100%.
Well, it is interesting that he was listed as not 100% based on hand and groin. So,
well.
Possibly.
I still stand by. No way with the left hand.
Yeah. And then wanted to get to the Astros because we talked about the need for a live arm in the bullpen and a guy who could give them something different. I think they got exactly the guy. And under team control, this is the kind of player they go out and get. And I don't think they gave up that much. I have no problem with Velasquez because I like the kid. I think he's going to be very good. But there's really nothing else that they gave up that I go, whoa, you're going to miss that. And especially when you look at the haul that the Diamondbacks had to give for Shelby Miller.
Yeah.
And some of the other, and the stuff that was out there for Chapman. I think it's a pretty good deal for the Astros. And, I don't know. I mean, so far this kid's been fantastic. I don't know that he's going to, continue to do that. I don't know why he wouldn't, but I like him a lot. I like the pickup, and I think it's a good move where you didn't have to give up. You had to give up one premium prospect in Velasquez who might become this kid someday. But I'm all for get the guy who can already do it. So I'm on record. I like this deal.
Okay. And I'm not with you on the, like, the Shelby Miller trade was actually bad, because I think that kid's really, really good, too.
Dude, you just gave up your number one pick in this last draft.
Okay.
I mean, and two other premium prospects. That's a haul. That's a lot more of a haul than the Astros gave up to get this kid.
For a guy that I know can pitch.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I've seen 4 years of Shelby Miller. He's an all-star. This guy is, I mean, we don't know how good he is legitimately. He could be a guy that just throws hard. I'm not saying that I think it's a bad trade, because I don't think they gave up anybody that they're going to desperately miss. But, I mean, Shelby Miller's a known commodity. I think comparing those
is how is he not a known commodity? He's got 2 years in the bigs now. He's been terrific. He got the closer's role. He was terrific on a terrible team. I think that's a pretty well-known commodity, a guy who throws in the high 90s and has all the measurables you want for that position. It's pretty well-known. Now, obviously, we've seen relief pitchers disappear, but now I like this. And as far as the Shelby Miller deal, I mean, that's great, but they basically gave up their best prospects for this guy. I'm not that – I mean, I think he's a good pitcher, but you also just spent a ton of money to get Zach Greinke. And that's it? You're going all in on these guys?
You can have a 1-2 like that, wouldn't you go all in?
Maybe. I don't know. There's at some point, aren't there prospects that you – unless you drafted this kid and realized,
prospects,
okay, it's not what I think.
Prospects is what I always say. I mean, yeah. It's nice to have them, but a bird in the hand for me, I'll take that. A guy that I know can play big league ball because, I mean, hell, Fred, we've seen – I mean, number one overall picks – we've gone through it before. About every other one is a total bust. I don't know how good Dansby Swanson is going to be. I mean, who knows? Yeah. His name's Dansby.
Well,
you going to trust your I mean, the future of your organization to a kid named Dansby? Come on. It's crazy talk.
Well, if the kid turns out to be Brian or somebody like that, you're going to look pretty stupid in 3 years. Well,
I mean, listen, the Astros look stupid for taking Mark Appel over Chris Bryant.
They do.
I mean, sometimes you miss out on the great prospects. I get it, but, you know, and I don't know if the Diamondbacks have the core that really adding that 1-2 punch at the top of their rotation is going to, you know,
make them
a playoff team. But
are they, I mean, when you make a deal, like, are you really, does that make you good enough to challenge the Dodgers and the Giants?
What I will say for them is they've got as good a 1-2 punch as anybody in the National League now. And they have...
I love Paul Goldschmidt, by the way.
I was going to say, they have arguably the best position player in the National League hanging out over there at first base, so...
And a guy who I think is getting better every year.
Yeah.
But I think that was an awful lot to give up. And my comparison is, you didn't have to give up near that. You didn't have to give up the kid you drafted that high last year to get somebody who's going to have a pretty big impact on your team.
Yeah.
So... I have nothing but positive things to say about
that
move.
No, I think it's a good move. My only contention was that I don't think the Diamondbacks made a bad move.
I don't know if it was a bad move, but the point I was trying to make is they had to give up a hell of a lot more to get their guy. I mean, the price of pitchers right now is ridiculous. So I think the Astros got by fairly cheaply is the point I'm trying to make. And I still think that was too much for Shelby Miller, because you obviously like him more than I do. He's a good pitcher, but okay. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll grab some phone calls when we return. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gauss Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Do want to remind you that if you haven't purchased the greatest gambling audiobook ever written by A.J. Hoffman, with some help from me, just go to Gow Media Publishing, and you can buy a gift card. And it's actually on our Facebook page as well. I put it on our Facebook page. But you can buy a gift card and give it to someone. So if you like somebody, it's a great gift. If you don't like them, it's a great gift. That simple.
There you go.
All right, let's try Rob. You're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, sports.
Sports to you, sir. One angle I'm not sure if you guys were aware of, saw on Twitter with this Diamondbacks trade, is the Diamondbacks unloaded their first-round pick from last year as well just to get rid of Bronson Arroyo's contract. So they don't have a first-round pick in 2014. They lost this year's 2015 pick. And then for signing Greinke, they'll lose next year's first-round pick. And so I know they have a young team, but at some point they're either just going to have to keep overpaying veterans, or they're going to be like the Astros when they had those two or three years of losing all their first and second round picks. And so they've kind of dug themselves into a hole unless this works out exactly like they wanted to.
Now, I don't disagree with everything you're saying there. I mean, they did cut deep into the organization. And my biggest problem with it wasn't giving up Dansby Swanson. I don't care about that. I thought, and Aaron Blair, okay. I thought Ender Inciarte, who was a looked to be a really good player for them already, like a current outfielder that played some nice defense and stole some bases. It looked like a good player. I didn't necessarily love them throwing him in the deal. But I really do like Shelby Miller. He's under control for three more seasons at a ridiculously good price. I understand why they did it. And that's what it's – Major League Baseball, especially for teams like Arizona, teams that aren't – I mean, they did spend a good chunk of money on Zach Greinke, but they can't go out and buy those guys willy-nilly. You know what I mean? So they have to
– Apparently they can.
Well, they have to get – when I'm saying they can't do that every year, go spend a mega bucks on a free agent. So then when they do that, they have to add to the rest of the team – with smart contracts. And, you know, we spent 30 minutes talking about this yesterday with the Rockets and their potential trades and how now in basketball, contracts and, you know, team-controlled and team-friendly contracts are more valuable than actual good players. But Shelby Miller is a rare exception where that's a guy who's under team control until 2019. He also happens to be a ridiculously good player.
I'm not as high on him as you are. I think he's an above average pitcher. I don't think he's ridiculously good though. And a 3.02 ERA in that park is above average. It's not ridiculously good.
Anytime your ERA is 3.0 anything, that's exceptional, in my opinion. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, is he Clayton Kershaw? No.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw wouldn't have gone 6-17.
Well, Clayton Kershaw didn't play for the Braves, who traded away their entire roster in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I think he's a good player, and I think he'll, you know, I like that he's under team control. I do think at some point you have to say, I mean, if you're just going to keep giving up every pick, and it's a good call. I think if you just keep throwing everything into guys like this, you better win this year. And I don't know that they're good enough to win this year. I think they'll be better, but. And obviously they weakened the Dodgers by getting Greinke.
Right.
And which we all thought all along he was going to L.A. or San Francisco. But, yeah, you know, I don't think that Shelby Miller puts you over the top. I don't think he's one of those guys that's going to, you know, go in there and just be this fantastic pitcher that gives you this unbelievable 1-2 punch. I think he'll be pretty good.
He was – Shelby Miller 11th in ERA last season. Zach Greinke first in ERA. I mean, these aren't just like, you know, so-so pitchers they're adding. These are impactful pitchers. And when you have two of those, man, I mean, we saw the Mets made it a long way with a DeGrom, Matt Harvey 1-2 punch. It's a nice thing to have. And I'm not saying.
I'm not saying the guy sucks. I like the guy. I'm not punching the clown over him the way you are.
Okay.
I think he's above average. And you gave up an awful lot. So I hope it works out for him. Actually, why do I care about the Diamondbacks? I don't care if it works out for him or not. Let's try Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, I know it's not Wednesday, but I have a word of the odds question. It's about the Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey fight. I was wondering what you guys thought, if she would be able to actually come back and re-win her title. I'll hang up and listen.
What's his question, Fred? I'm sorry.
I think what he was trying to ask is, can Rousey beat Holm in the rematch?
Listen, I think Ronda Rousey can beat Holly Holm. I think it just it's a matter of if she goes in and fights smart. If she fights like she fought last time, she has no chance to win because she fought a stupid fight. I assume this is probably an eye-opening lesson for her, but she's got to figure out a better game plan.
And you never know how, once that aura of invincibility is gone, you never know how they're going to react to that, you know, either one of those fighters when she goes back in there. But I still think the best we've seen of Ronda Rousey is good enough to win. The interesting thing is how this kind of hoses Cyborg, because yeah, obviously the next fight was going to be Rousey-Cyborg. They were working towards that. Now if Rousey wins, it's going to be another match with Holly Holm.
Yeah.
So you have to do a third one there. So I don't think we're ever going to see Cyborg and Rousey at this point.
I don't know if we will either. I know the deal with the IV ban kind of held off on Cyborg, and she's fighting next month at 145 again. She delayed her plans to go down to 135, but I still don't think that that's out of the question.
Yeah, when's she going to fight at 140 is kind of a bridge.
Yeah, and then they put in the IV ban, which really slowed her down, and then they wanted her to defend her title, so I'm not sure when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen, but yeah, you're right. They're kind of missing the boat on that, but I don't know that they need that boat as much now that that Ronda lost, because we talk about this all the time. They miss out on these opportunities. You've got chances to make these super huge fights, and if you don't do it fast enough.
But what's gonna be a bigger pay per view, the Rousey Holm rematch or either one of those two in Cyborg? It's gonna be the rematch, yeah. I think. And you know, if Holm wins that, then and Rousey quits, then I think you could see Holm Cyborg. That would be big. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Let's grab Abel real quick. What's up, Abel?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, question about the Texans and the Patriots game this weekend. So with J.J. Watt's hand, you know, broken and all, and I know Patriots have Gronk out and with some of their injuries, is it time to maybe, you know, even consider jumping on the Patriots line, even with J.J. Watt being kind of hurt going after the quarterback? But, you know, the quarterback and the Patriots staff, you know, coaching staff, being still pretty efficient, I just don't see them losing a third game.
Well, I don't either. But when you talk about taking the Patriots, you also have to win. They could win by three and you'd still lose.
Right. I'd keep an eye on that line because it's come down a lot. I think the big question is whether or not Gronk plays. Gronk plays, I'll give.
And he still hasn't practiced.
Well, he practiced today, actually, but he was limited.
Limited practice.
So he had a big knee brace on. So I don't know how. I'm guessing he's probably not going to play because he's said all along he's not going to until he's 100%. But if you think he's going to play, that's a great line. Because I think he makes. And we'll ask RJ this tomorrow, because most of the time we talk about what a difference a quarterback makes. I think Gronk is worth 4 or 5 points.
He's very valuable.
Maybe more than that.
Especially to that team. I mean, everybody else can be hurt, and as long as they've got him.
So, and I still think there's value in that line. I really do. I don't like it outside of three. When it got down to three yesterday, I liked it a lot better. But, you know, again, we talk about buying low and selling high. You're buying the Patriots pretty low right now. What do you think the odds would have been on this game a week ago, or before they lose to the Broncos? Let's go back 2 weeks. What do you think the spread would have been
2 weeks ago?
Minus eight, minus seven minimum.
Yeah, seven would be the friendliest line you'd find, I bet.
So yeah, if you like the Patriots, you're getting really good value. And Patrick asked, does J.J. Watt move the line significantly? You know what? We'll answer that when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We play the Bud Light Fantasy Game each Thursday during happy hour. It's absolutely free to play. Today we're having happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington from 5 until 7. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at BW3 on Washington from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. Okay, somebody asked how much J.J. Watt moved the line. I think we asked RJ this earlier in the season, and of all the non-quarterbacks, he would have the most impact. And I don't know the exact number. We'll ask
J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I think because I know this came up for some reason. I don't know why. We were talking about guys who would have the biggest impact. Now, realistically, I think Gronk has a bigger impact on the line than J.J. Watt would.
I think. I don't know. I think there's a couple. J.J. Watt is obviously a line mover, but I would think there's a few more guys on offense that I would put ahead of J.J. I don't. And obviously, this is more of a question for R.J. But I would think, you know, you take Julio Jones away from the Falcons. That's a pretty big miss.
Not the way they're playing now. I mean, I don't think it makes any difference the way they're playing now. They're playing bad football. They're not throwing to him in the red zone. Guy like AJ Green, guy like Jones, you can make that case. I know what I've seen out of this defense when he's not 100%, and I think that's worth a lot. But
of course, I would have also thought that Jamal Charles would have been a huge, you know, impact guy, and then sure enough, they're playing better without him. So,
and a lot of it going into the line, a lot just depends on public perception. I mean, that's what creates a line, and I think that's a guy that the public perception would, you know, I think it would affect it. If he's not 100%, I don't know how many points he's actually worth, but I bet he's probably 2 points in the line at most. And that's significant for one player in a football game.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take your phone calls. And I don't care what J.J. Watt says about how he's fine and it's not going to impact him. If you've got a broken hand and you're trying to tackle people, it's going to have an impact. And he uses his hands a lot. I think it's an unfortunate injury because they need him to be the disruptive J.J. Watt that he is when he's at his best to have any chance against this team Sunday night. And the only thing that bothers me is it's just going to be nonstop Chris Collinsworth talking about J.J. Watt's hand every freaking play. I'm going to have to mute it. You know what? I'm not even going to try this week. I'm not even going to wait until the first quarter where I finally have to mute Collinsworth. No, I'm going to do it at the very beginning. Not going to even take a chance. Of course, I don't have nothing to tweet about.
That's true.
So, and just as AP missing time probably moves the line. Although, and I'd have to go study this, the games that the Vikings played last year without him versus this year, what the line is. Because tonight's line to me is ridiculous. It's up to 11.
You know,
I like the Cardinals, but 11 points?
That's a lot.
And so if you
Minnesota fits into my buy low, sell high phase with them and the Cardinals.
But if you take Adrian Peterson out of the lineup tonight, how much difference does that make in a line that's already 11?
Yeah, because it's not like you can make them 14-point dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could, but that would seem highly unlikely.
Yeah. I don't know. 281 says Steelers spreads would be different with Bell still there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I do think he has an impact on the team, and they miss him. But again, public perception is D'Angelo Williams is pretty good.
Right. It's all a lot. When it comes to that stuff, the drop-off to your replacement factors in. There's nobody to replace Adrian Peterson. I mean, that's a pretty big drop. Although, hell, people thought there wasn't anyone to replace Marshawn Lynch, and Thomas Rawls has done a pretty good job.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And we've got some great guests coming up. Christopher Harris at 5:30 with fantasy questions for those of you who are still alive. I'm not, but if you're still alive in fantasy and you have questions, just go ahead and text them to us at 713-780-3776, and we will ask Christopher Harris. Make sure it's not this guy or that guy kind of thing. Willie B at 6:15 to talk a little gambling, and Luke Rockhold. That'll be coming up as
Luke
well.
Luke Rockhold, who's the most handsome man in the UFC, B, fighting for the middleweight championship on Saturday night. What a hard life that guy is living right now, right?
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, just terrible.